Thai Values 4.0. What Thais Can Learn from Netflix, Part 2. Larry S. Persons, PhD. What's your North Star? To embark on any journey, it's a good idea to know where you are trying to go. Here's our direction. How can we contextualize Netflix culture to Thai culture in such a way that it fuels unbounded creativity and innovation? At first glance, this might look like an impossible journey. The book, No Rules, Rules, Netflix and the Culture of Reinvention by Reed Hastings and Aaron Meyer, shows what a modern business innovation engine looks like. The story is inspiring, but also disturbing when read from a Thai perspective. The Netflix culture of talent density, complete candor, and decentralized decision-making is so starkly different from traditional Thai organizations that it feels like a slap in the face. In other words, there is a very high risk that any Thai leader will quickly dismiss the merits of this book as being irrelevant to Thai ways, and that would be a shame. That's why Thais are my target audience in this series. If you're not Thai, welcome aboard, but make sure you point your Thai colleagues to my blogs. Thanks. If you, the reader, are Thai, especially a Thai business leader, I ask for your trust and your patience as I argue how insights from the Netflix book are highly relevant to our aspirations for Thailand's economic future. In my previous blog, I noted that Thailand 4.0 is a vision for a more agile form of growth based on technology, creativity, and innovation. That's problematic. Modern Thai culture still tends to reward conformity, hierarchy, and tradition, whereas business agility, you see, thrives on their opposites: rapid experimentation, decentralized leadership, and thinking outside the box. That is why we will be peeking behind the curtain at Netflix. The culture it promotes, the types of ideas it encourages, the kind of workforce it attracts, the way leaders lead, and the secrets to their success at being so highly innovative. We will also squarely face how day-to-day life at Netflix clashes with deeply entrenched Thai culture values. We must do this if we are to discover novel ways to bring the two approaches into harmony. The lessons we'll learn together will hopefully point the way forward, especially for businesses in Thailand attempting to instill a culture of innovation but struggling to achieve the desired results from their personnel. The disparities between Netflix culture and Thai culture are dramatic, but with a few modifications, we will see that the Netflix model can help us transform Thai organizations to be much more innovative. The trick, as always, is not to fight the current, but redirect it. I have some good news. Certain aspects of Thai culture already contain the seeds of change. They are deep below the surface, but if nurtured, these seeds can grow into radically new directions. Obstacle 1. Kong Kui, or Confucius, as most of us know him, was born in 551 BCE in Lu, now in Shandong Province, China. He is China's most famous teacher, philosopher, and political theorist, whose ideas continue to shape not only China, but most modern Asian cultures as well, including Thai culture. And though this great man has been dead almost 2,500 years, his view of a just and harmonious society stands in the way of stimulating greater innovation in Thai organizations. Confucian philosophy emphasized personal and governmental morality, correct relationships, justice, kindness, and sincerity. Its primary purpose was to achieve its most highly prized goal, social harmony. So far, you should be sensing strong themes of collectivism. But the core values of his philosophy also set the table for an entrenched hierarchy. Kong Kui preached reciprocity or responsibility, ranking, as something that extends beyond filial piety and involves the entire network of social relations. Social harmony comes in part from every individual knowing his or her place in the natural order and playing that part well. Kong Kui maintained that there were five critical relationships in Chinese society. The five bonds were emperor and subject, father and son, husband and wife, elder brother and younger brother, and friend and friend. Of these five relationships, all but one, friend to friend, points to the moral superiority of hierarchy. The second person in each pairing is expected to show deep respect and even submission to the first. Confucius strongly believed in the importance of inferiors listening to and obeying superiors. This foray into philosophy is not a digression, not at all. As a face scholar, I can tell you that modern Thai rules of face work are still deeply soaked in Confucian philosophy. To challenge them in any way, to suggest that our bright new world needs to wrestle free from the grip of Confucian morality, is to pick a fight that you can easily lose. But there is a silver lining. The worldview of Confucianism rests upon the belief that human beings are fundamentally good, teachable, improvable, and perfectible through personal and communal endeavor, especially self-cultivation and self-creation. Wow, now that gets my attention. The journey of Thai organizations into resilient creativity and innovation will require that certain Thais at least be teachable and improvable, empowered to cultivate and recreate themselves. Obstacle 2. The writers of No Rules make a powerful assertion. With the growth in importance of intellectual property and creative services, the percentage of the economy that is dependent on inventiveness and innovation is much higher and continually increasing. Yet most companies are still following the paradigms of the Industrial Revolution that have dominated wealth creation for the last 300 years. When Reed Hastings pens the words "most companies" in the above paragraph, he could just as easily have written "most Thai companies." The popular command and control approach, so typical of most Thai organizations, is a relic of the high volume, low error manufacturing of past eras. Yet it still dominates the leadership assumptions of most organizations, not just Thai organizations. Thais have joined billions of people around the world in embracing an approach to management that is a vestige of a bygone era, dating back as far as the Industrial Revolution that began in Britain in 1760. That's 260 years ago. The goal of organizations during that revolution was to minimize variation. This approach fits well with the collectivism of Thailand, by the way, where often the goal is to fit in with the in-group, to never stand out from your peers, even if you're standing out in a good way. But the goal of creative companies today is to maximize variation. This is a categorical different goal. The biggest risk, says Reed, isn't making a mistake or losing consistency. It's failing to attract top talent, to invent new products, or to change direction quickly when the environment shifts. Consistency and repeatability are more likely to squash fresh thinking and mistakes. While sometimes painful, help the organization to learn quickly and are a critical part of the innovation cycle. The digital revolution is now requiring starkly different ways of leading and managing. It's just that some of us have been sleeping. We've been unaware that circumstances are pleading with us to upset the apple cart, to rock the boat, to make waves, to challenge the status quo, to step out of our comfort zones, to practice culture making, not just culture following, to give ourselves the right to be courageous for the sake of fresh innovation and for the joy that lies before us.